Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
And we will help you keep it running thanks to the help we get from Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in beautiful St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Nick is back. Morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Good to see you again.
Thank you. A
busy week, I presume, at Lloyd's?
Yeah, it's the weather is changing, as we all know, and people are thinking ahead a little bit and getting that car all ready to go.
Yeah, in fact, we should talk a little bit about that, because off the air, you reminded me of something I have yet to do, and that's put in a winter survival kit in the car. I wonder how many folks really do that. You know, the blankets, the chocolate, the what else? Is it a candle? I'm trying to think. What, flashlight?
We better all check into that, obviously. Yeah. But no, you're right on. It's I think it's one of those things, especially if you're traveling across the state or across the country in the northern part where it's cold and you don't want to run in the event of having an accident. You know, they talk about that shovel, a blanket, I think a candle, something to chocolate, something to survive or keep you some food in you until you can get some help. But it, you know, it's that time of the year, and you know, we got to get those cars up and ready to go, whether it's the tires, having the tires looked at, wiper blades that we never really think about, the battery.
Oil,
antifreeze, you know, all those little things you can do to help your car start on the coldest of mornings.
Yeah. Is it still true, though? We've touched on this in years past about batteries, how tough it is on some batteries. Summer is somewhat harder than winter. Is that kind of true?
I think that it's true in most items, heat.
Yeah.
Is the enemy.
Okay.
However, we don't realize it until we need that extra capacity, that extra reserve, which is in the winter months. You know, the engines are cold, the oil's thicker, the battery's capacity is a little bit less, and then, like I said, in those cold mornings, you really need all those things to come together to get the vehicle going.
Good point. By the way, let's let our listeners get involved here. If you do have a problem with your vehicle and you want to ask this ASE certified technician that question before you bring your car into your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, at least you'll be armed with some information that maybe you didn't have before. 651-989-9226. We've cleared the lines. They're ready for your car care questions. Or if you want to send Nick a text, that's 81807, 81807. How about snow tires? You guys been busy, I presume, getting those things on.
That is the season. And if you're considering snow tires and you need to replace your old ones, that's a very small window of opportunity, because it seems like that there's a limited number of tires or inventory out there. And once they're gone. You know, these vendors don't want to end up with old inventory, so there's a very limited amount of them. So if you're considering it, or if you're in the market replacing the ones that you have, I would get on that sooner than later.
I hear people who do that. I haven't had snow tires for years, but I know people who have bought them recently in the last couple of years swear by them.
Yeah, you know, as the vehicles have changed, you know, their stances are lower, the tires are a lower profile, a lot more of the all-season tires are maybe a little more performance-based. And so if you have a vehicle that maybe struggles in the winter with traction, I think it's a good idea to consider it, or maybe check online or check with maybe the dealership where you got the vehicle and see if it's a common thing that we see, because it's I do think on the right vehicle, it's very appropriate. I don't think it's necessary in all vehicles, but it's probably worth a little research.
I was mentioning to you off air that I got stopped in the hallway here this week. Say, ask Nick about heated seats. He said, I don't think mine's working that well. What can go wrong with a car that has, and I love heated seats, but what can go wrong?
It's funny how it's changed. Now we have cars that automatically start, so we don't have to go out and start them up. We have heated seats, so when we get into our car, it's essentially never even outside. But what happens is, obviously, we're sitting in our vehicle, and we're moving around, and we're flexing that heated element in the seat pad. And actually, just this week, we replaced one of those pads in the seat. So, unfortunately, they don't last forever. If you're an active person and you're moving around in your seat a lot, you might be flexing that heat grid a little bit more, and you could create a break in that grid. And once there's a fracture in that, it's not going to work. But they are repairable. So, it's not the end of the world. If you really do like having that heated seat,
it's
probably worth having it investigated a little bit, diagnose it, see exactly what's wrong. And if it is that element, maybe consider having it replaced.
And some folks have heated steering wheels. And some folks have new cars that drive themselves.
New cars that drive
themselves. I
don't
know if I'm ready for that.
They have air-cooled seats. I mean, it's cars are becoming more and more comfortable.
And somebody sent a text in. One thing overlooked was a spare tire and a jack, but in some cases, there is no spare tire.
Yeah, some of the newest vehicles don't have spare tires. And my opinion is if you do, you should have a spare tire in the event you have a flat. But if you're not comfortable or if you've not practiced taking a tire off your car, don't do it. It's not worth damaging the vehicle or hurting yourself. You don't want a car falling on the ground or on you. So if that's something you've not done or not very prepared to do it, call someone.
All right. We're going to come back and we're going to talk with Nick more about car care and get your questions answered either by phone, which is 651-989-9226, or by text. We've got a few of those coming in already. That text number, by the way, if you think that's easier for you, 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We'll find out exactly where in a moment. But if you do have a question for Nick, now is your chance by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. Text 81807. Bill, Nick is calling in from Northfield with a question. Thanks, Bill. What's your question, please?
Yeah, I've got an older Volvo, and recently I had a blown head gasket on it. And I'm just wondering what his opinion is on any of the additives in the auto stores, Mars leaks, and some of those.
You know, if the head gasket is blown already, it doesn't hurt. You know, I'm not a big believer. You cannot fix a car out of a can, but can you minimize some of the effects? Maybe, you know, I mean, depending on how that cylinder head has been damaged or if the head gasket's blown out, you can try something. Why not? Right. But ultimately, you know, you might have to come to the decision to either repair the vehicle or replace the vehicle. So it's worth a try. Don't invest too much money into it because I don't know how likely it is to be a long-term fix, but it might get you by for a short time here.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Bill. The line is open, 651-989-9226. Let's go to the text messages. Let's see. An 01 F-150, a crackling sound when put in reverse and hit the gas. Does not hear it going forward. Sounds like it's in the rear area. Any ideas what it might be, a crackling sound?
You know, I don't know for sure, but you always try to think what's different going backward than forward. You know, is it something with the brakes because you're rotating the reverse way? Maybe the drive shaft. You know, there's still U-joints. You know, maybe U-joint is drying out or becoming worn out. Maybe something with the rear differential. So a lot of times we have people that express or have that type of problem, like it's only in reverse, it's when I'm going down a hill, turning right, and you try to do that the process of elimination,
yes, I guess. Narrowing it down.
So I would probably try to get a second person to go along with this individual and go back and forth, maybe do it in front of them, and hopefully you can pinpoint that area where it's happening.
You guys do that all the time. I mean, to hear something on radio is one thing, to make guesses, but you'll go along for the ride.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, I tell people on the air as our customers, come on by, I want to put somebody in the vehicle with you so they can experience exactly what you are. Because if you walk in and give me a description, I hop in the car and take my opinion of your description, we might be hearing two totally different things. And this have wasted your money and my time. So don't be afraid to say, hey, I got this really strange noise, hop in the car with me.
Yeah.
You know, let's go around the block, I want to show you what I have going on.
Absolutely.
Here.
By the way, where's Lloyd's? Give us some information. How do we find you guys?
To the capital city of Minnesota, which is St. Paul.
Okay.
That's a start. 982 Grand Avenue, beautiful Grand Avenue, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. If you ever need to give us a call, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you have the internet, we're on there, lloydsautomotive.net. And that's lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. And if you want to send a text, a lot of folks are doing that, 81807. I don't want to lose track of that either. Here's a texter's contention. It says, he or she, it has always been my contention. People are driving on bad tires. Check the tire tread. Otherwise, you are a danger for everyone.
Very good point. You know, this is what I do for a living. So I notice that myself. I'm driving along and I see like that person driving on a flat tire. Or you get up next to someone at a stop sign or stoplight and you notice that there's no tread on those tires. And everybody intends to replace their tires next month. Well, unfortunately, you end up in some sort of incident where you have to get your fender repaired and buy the tire. So save yourself the money on the fender repair and just do the tires now.
Good point. All right, let's go back to the phones, Nick. John in Bloomington has a question. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning. I bought a brand new 2017 Toyota RAV4 hybrid, fully loaded, nice car.
Congrats.
Last July I got in a bad accident on a residential street, got hit on the right front, and did $21,000 damage to the car. I got it back from the body shop, and it was, you know, like brand new car. But now every time I fill up the tank that's on the left rear, when the nozzle clicks off after the tank has been full, about a half a cup of gas burps out of the, you know, and runs down the side of the car. And I'm wondering if there's something that could have been done to the gas tank, even though it was, you know, in the left rear and the damage was in the right front.
So I don't think it's with the gas tank. So with the emission standards that we have here, the whole idea is for the vehicle to contain all emissions, including fuel vapor. In the tank, they don't want all those fuel vapors getting everywhere. So you have a canister system that will collect those vapors, and the vehicle will actually burn those off when you're running the vehicle. I suspect something with the venting or the controlling of that might be restricted, kinked, plugged, because obviously it shouldn't burp up like that. So maybe you need to take it to your regular mechanic and an assessment. Somebody can do a performance test on that system and figure what piece of it's not working properly, a visual inspection, then maybe reach out to that body shop and or your insurance to say, hey, I've got something that's not right here. You know, and maybe it's not related, but I think it's new enough of a vehicle where I suspect that somehow something there got a little mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens. I mean, it's, you know, these cars are so complicated. There's so many systems that are intertwined. It's not, you know, that somebody intentionally neglected it, but you don't necessarily know that that's going to be an outcome of the problem.
All right. Good luck, John. Thank you. Let's see. There's a text here. It comes in different parts. I have a 2006 Chrysler Town & Country, 158,000 miles. Last couple of weeks, it seems like when I'm going up an incline, the vehicle starts to miss. Then I give it a little gas to accelerate, and it seems to level out. Could I add something to the gas? Maybe I have water in the gas or bad gas, or is it something more serious, you think?
You know, we always forever have thought, you know, it's water in the gas, it's bad gas, and that does happen. If it's been a couple weeks, you've gone through a couple tanks of gas, I suspect it's not that, you know, and, you know, so maybe they have a slight misfire. If you can accelerate out of it, you know, there's something that's hitting a criteria where it's creating that problem. I would suspect if you had somebody look at it, maybe took a scan tool or a diagnostic piece there and kind of watched the vehicle as it's running, they would see something there.
You guys would do that.
Yeah.
Right?
So you're any, you know, your regular mechanic, your dealer, whomever, you know, capable of doing that. So you don't want to be driving around with a misfire because the car is giving you the warning right now.
Oh,
saying,
okay.
Something's not right. It can't be looked at. The next unfortunate piece is it might stall on you and then you're stuck.
Yeah.
So have that looked at before you get stranded somewhere.
Good deal. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take our quick break here. We've got folks on the line, texters as well on our Car Care Show. We'll be back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
36 is our Twin City temperature reading. Denny Long here with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul answering your car care questions. And Nick, as you see, we have a lot of them. So let's help the folks out who've taken the time to call us and text us. Rick is calling from Osceola, Wisconsin. Hi, Rick. What's your question for Nick?
Good morning. I own a 2012 Chevy Impala, and I have two problems. First of all, the car itself is showing a Stabilitrack and brake assist related messages on the dash. It does it inconsistently. Over the last 2 months, four times now, it's been in and out of the shop and currently is sitting in the shop right now for a fifth examination. They've replaced the ABS harnesses, the wiring on this, the bearings for that, the this for that. I'm a bit frustrated. My two questions I have to that, A, what is it? And B, if this shop can't continue to figure out what it is, how do I arbitrarily and fairly extract myself from them when they've put a lot of money and energy into it, yet I still have a car that doesn't work properly?
You know, sometimes it takes a village. You know, we work on a lot of cars, and we run into a wall sometimes. And, you know, cars, or can be frustrating. You know, I'm not sure where you're going, or does it matter? But maybe having a good conversation with them and, you know, appreciating their efforts, maybe a fresh set of eyes, somebody that has a different set of testing equipment. You know, I would suspect on the GM that there'd be some sort of fault code related to this that somebody could diagnose from, you know. And you know, it's frustrating, I know, and I feel bad because, you know, we run into that too, where we've tried so hard to give the best service that we can, and sometimes we just keep shooting ourselves in the foot, and it just, you know, if the car doesn't want to give you all the information, you know, not that you ever want to guess, you know, you want to be able to prove everything you always can, but sometimes you got to guess. And, you know, I mean, I would try to have a documentation of everything that they've done, all the research, all the fault codes, you know, and maybe take that information to someone else and say, hey, here, I'm having this problem. Can you help? Can you take a look at this? Do you have an opinion? And, you know, like I said, it takes a village sometimes.
Another set of eyes might do something.
I mean, and, you know, and you got to keep trying, though, because, you know, as we were talking about the winter seasons ahead of us here, and Stabilitrack, traction control, ABS, those are all systems that we really want to have operating. So talk to those guys at where you have the car at and try to maybe appreciate their efforts, obviously, but hopefully they can understand and want to help you find another another opinion.
Yeah. Good luck, Rick. Frustrating. Clarence is calling from St. Paul. Clarence, you're on CCO. Good morning.
I've had four oxygen sensors replaced on my 2004 Suburban, and they're all generic ones where they use the Scotch-Lock, 3M Scotch-Lock connectors, typically used for trailer wiring to attach the wires. Is that common?
No, I'm sorry. No, you know, we, you know, they're more cost effective because they're less money. We don't use them. I would not do that. You know, I mean, number one, I'm not sure if the integrity or the quality of the sensors are the same. When you make a break in a repair with those scratch lock type connectors that you're talking about, it's underneath the vehicle. They're exposed to all the elements. You have corrosion, you have rust, you have salt. All that's going to work its way into that connection there, and it's not going to last very long. So my opinion would be go a step back. Hopefully the original connector's still there. Get the original sensor and repair it properly.
Okay. Interesting. Thanks, Clarence. Let's go to Mike. Then we've got to pick up on some text messages. Mike is calling from Wyndham. Mike, you're on CCO with Nick.
Morning, Nick, guys. Morning, Nick.
Morning.
I got a 2005 Chevy Silverado 5.3. I'm wondering, you know, they got ethanol blended, like 5 or 10% ethanol. Could a guy step up to a 20 to a 30% blend, or could he go to E50 and dump regular gas or mix it with high octane?
I'm not a chemist, but if you're, and I did a little bit of research on this because my truck is in, I have a Silverado also, and mine is an ethanol vehicle. It's got the yellow gas cap. If you have an E85 equipped vehicle, yes, you can do all of that. The car has a sensor that reads the alcohol content in the fuel and adjusts for it. Now, I understand that those higher ethanol fuels are less money, but you are going to lose fuel economy with that. So there's a balance there. You know, you can try to, you know, notch it up a little bit, track your mileage. If it doesn't seem to be affecting you and you're making a good savings in money, by all means, have at it. But if you start to notice that the fuel economy is going away, you just find yourself saving some money, but you're at the gas station more often.
That's so true. It's a trade-off.
It's a trade-off for sure.
All right. Text messages. Let's see if we do a little lightning round here.
All right.
I love your show. Thank you for all your advice. My question is, how long do batteries normally last on average in Minnesota weather? My truck is starting a little slower. The battery is 3 years old. Does it probably need to be replaced?
3 years is a little young. However, if you do short trips, if you, you know, start and stop, so you don't give the alternator the chance to charge the battery, it may need it. 4 or 5, you know, 5 years is a good number. If your battery's 5 years old, have it tested because you might not make it through the winter.
Texter says, I have a 2017 Honda Civic Sport Turbo. I hit a raccoon a few weeks ago, had the car repaired at a local shop. They did not hook up the turbo correctly the first time. They've since hooked it back up correctly, but now my fuel mileage is 4 to 5 miles less per gallon. Is the loss in mileage due to winter gas, or could it be the turbocharger not being installed properly?
I don't, you know, if there was something with the turbocharger, the check engine light would be on, and it would have some sort of fault information about performance of it. I suspect it's more of a fuel type of issue. You know, you can try a different type of fuel, try some, you know, mess around with a little bit. But, yeah, when we get into the winter season, fuel economy usually goes down.
It does drop not only because of the temperature, but because of the blend.
The blend, well. Cars run longer. There's a whole bunch of stuff that contributes to that.
Yeah, a lot of variables there. All right, let's see. Who's next? I'm putting my Mercedes away for the winter today. Texter says, should I put an engine stabilizer in the gas tank? If so, what kind?
Yes, you should do that. You want to keep that fuel stable. You don't want to create any drivability, any sludge, any kind of tarnish type stuff on any of those pieces. So I would fill the tank up, stable, or anyone. There's, you know, you go to the parts store, they'll set you up with something, put it in the tank and drive it around a little bit, get it mixed up, get it running through the fuel, and you should be fine.
And a texter says this, I have a 2004 Saturn Ion. Periodically, the low coolant light comes on and off. I'm not losing coolant out of my expansion chamber at all. Why is the light going on and off?
I suspect the sensor's probably going bad. We have seen that. If the fluid is full and it's in the proper area, obviously it's okay. Don't be worried, but you should probably have that looked at. You don't want to become unaware of that light and have a real problem and ignore it and create, you know, a breakdown situation.
Okay, here's a text that says they have an 06 Tahoe, used four-wheel drive for the first time this week, and there is a noise while engaged. What are your thoughts about that?
Might be normal. You know, when you have a pickup and you put in a four-wheel, it's really in four-wheel drive. They don't have a lot of the slipping mechanisms that are all-wheel drives that make it comfortable for us. So it's more lumbering and kind of grinding. On a pickup truck, that's probably normal.
All right. As we kind of started this conversation when you walked in, and maybe we should finish with the winter on its way, some cases already here, what should folks be doing to get their vehicles ready for this next season?
Well, like we just touched on, if their battery is 5 years old, have it tested because it likely won't make it through the winter. Go have your vehicle serviced, fresh oil. Have them check the antifreeze protection level. Check the tread on your tires. Your wiper blades, we don't realize how they'd slowly deteriorate. And if you can't see, I always joke, let me give you the passenger side one and pay double for the driver side one.
Yeah.
Because you'll be amazed. Just those little things really help us, especially when the road conditions are deteriorated. You don't want your car to be an additional reason to have you have a problem.
Absolutely.
So get that fixed up.
And how do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, we're in St. Paul, 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Our phone number is 651-228-1316. And on the web, lloydsautomotive.net, and that's lloydsautomotive.net.
You're open today for a while.
8 until noon.
Very good. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
See you there at Lloyd's.
Yes, sir.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.